and read about David. And when we read about David, let us remember that we have in mind great David's greater son. I don't like to hear preachers myself preach about a type and forget to talk about the anti-type. These types and shadows are only pictures of the Lord Jesus, and we preach Christ and Him crucified. So we shall refer some of these ideas to the Savior Himself. And David was a very fine man. God said about him, "I have found a man after my own heart, one who shall do my will." And yet I think we all know that David failed. Well, all types of the Lord Jesus fail. He was absolutely perfect, and Jesus never fails. So they must all come short in one way or another, but the Lord Jesus never does. When I was a boy, I had up in my bedroom a little pokerwork text which says, "He faileth not," Zephaniah 3:5. And that has been with me all my life. My wife wanted to throw it away the other day. I wouldn't dream of letting it go. It reminds me, and has reminded me all through my life, that the one on the throne is the one who by His Spirit is in my heart, and He is the Almighty One, and He cannot fail, for He is God. Now, 1 Samuel and the 30th chapter. At the end of verse 6 we will commence. "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Verse 8, "And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop?" There was an enemy of Amalekites that had raided his city called Ziklag. "Shall I overtake them?" he says to the Lord. The Lord answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and the 400 men, for 200 abode behind. They were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. They gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. Sounds very good to me. I think they were very kind. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said to him, "To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou?" And he said, "I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick." We made an invasion, and we burned Ziklag with fire. David said to him, "Can you bring me down to this company?" And he said he would, and he brought him down. Verse 18, "And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives." Verse 19, "David recovered all." "And David came," verse 21, "to the 200 men, who were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. They went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And David saluted them. Verse 24. David said, "Who is going to hearken to you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff." They shall part alike. And when David came to Ziklag, verse 26, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, "Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." The Lord bless to us the reading of those few verses. You will see the gist of them, I hope, as we go on. Now, it has been my custom through the years that when I have read the scriptures in my own private devotions and have come across a verse or a portion that has really gripped my soul and been a blessing to me, I've had a desire to make that to be a blessing to others that I minister to from time to time. And I come across today some notes in my margin. For on occasions like that, I have put a few notes in the margin. And sometimes I hadn't used those notes in my ministry for many years, sometimes not at all as yet. And I notice these have been the margin of my Bible, must have been about 20 or 30 years. And I'm looking at them again tonight, for I've never used them in public ministry, because I'm very interested to see how God deals with his own, as well as how God deals with people who are not his as yet. And if it may be you are not a committed Christian, you will see, especially in the New Testament, and I suggest you start reading in John's Gospel. Don't start Revelation, start in John's Gospel. And then read the Acts of the Apostles, then come back to the other Gospels, and then read in the Epistles. And you will find how God deals with those who are still in their sin. He tells them to repent. Those who are looking for life, he tells them to come to the Lord Jesus. And God deals with us just as our need is, and is always seeking to meet our need. Sometimes he will meet our need through the preacher, sometimes through the pages of Holy Scripture, sometimes through the influence of other godly people we know to be Christians and committed to Christ and waiting for his coming again. Now, when we know that God is speaking to us, we should respond to his call and repent of our sin and receive Christ. Now, there are in this passage some special blessings suggested for God's people that they might enjoy his victory in their lives. In this new year, we are all wanting to be victorious, on top of things, getting the victory over Satan and sin in the life. I'm sorry for you if you've got some problem and sin in your life, and you've got to carry it with you all through this year. I see no reason why you shouldn't get rid of it. Turn to Christ and get the victory over it, and go on your way rejoicing. Now, these are the ideas I had in my, and still have, in my Bible. And in verse 2 of 1 Samuel 30, we see this, that no man lives to himself. And that is a divine principle. And in verse 6, the axiom is that no man will ever fail to find encouragement in his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And in verse 8, this is the principle: no man will fail to know God's will if he is willing to do it. Of course, I will enlarge upon these as we go through. And in verse 12, no man will fail, whatever his condition, to receive grace on coming to Christ, or on meeting the Saviour, of whom David, of course, is a type and picture, as I was saying. And in verse 18, no man will fail to get complete victory over the enemy if he takes God at his word. I'm very pleased to see that some of you are following in your Bibles, because I'm not reading the text. We'll come to that in a few moments. Verse 21 and 24 taken together: no man who knows the Master will lose his share of the spoil of the victory, even if he is not so robust as others. So there's a chance for me in that. And the seventh principle is this, verse 26. No man need remain in spiritual poverty, since the enemy has already been routed and overcome. Now, the historical situation is this. In the 27th chapter of this book, 1 Samuel, David's faith seemed to fail. King Saul was jealous of David and seeking to take his life. And it was proved to David by God time and again that God was with him, and that Saul would not take his life. He could have taken Saul's life on various occasions. But he sat one day in his palace, and or in his tent, whatever it was at this time, and he started moaning. And he said to himself, I'm sure to die one of these days. Saul is sure to get me and kill me. I know what I'll do. Now you see him making up his own mind. And God's not brought into this at all. He says, I'll go and join myself to the Philistines. Now, they weren't a company of God's people meeting in a gospel chapel. They were people of the world, shall I say. They were not God's people at all. He said, I'll go and join them and see if with them I can get the victory over Saul. But this was not God's way. How easy it is to make decisions on our own without bringing God into it. If I can break away for a moment, I had a big compliment paid to me without seeking it some time ago. One of the students in the Bible College was brought into my study by the senior student, who could not encourage this young man to do his duty in the college, because they all had a duty to do for 20 minutes or half an hour, and this young fellow didn't want to do his. So he brought him to me, told me the story in front of him. So I said to the senior student, all right, you can go and I'll have a word with Jim. I'm making that up. I don't think his name was Jim. It's the only name that comes to me at the moment. I said, I'll have a word with Jim. So Jim sat there. And it was true what the senior boy had said. So I said to Jim, why don't you do this? And he made some excuses. Well, now, I said, he wants you to do it. And I want you to do it. And I'm sure the Lord wants you to do it as well. Do it for His sake. Won't you do it? I said, do it as unto the Lord. And be happy about it. And he turned and he said, do you know, sir, the trouble with you? He said, the trouble with you, sir, mind you, I got a lot more troubles than he knew about. He said, the trouble with you, sir, he says, you always go and bring the Lord into it. Well, I thought that was a nice compliment, and I thanked him very much. But I've got an idea that this year is going to be a difficult year. We've got to bring the Lord into it, and into every situation. I am master, said the Apostle Paul, of every situation through Christ or in Christ who makes me strong. We shall fail if we haven't Christ with us, if we don't know Christ. The difficulties will be too much for us. So bring the Lord into it. Now David, without bringing the Lord into his problems, said he'd go and do that foolish thing. Join himself to the Philistines. And the Philistines were with David, and they gave him the little city of Ziklag for himself and his men. And then, of course, there was a battle on hand. David went after the enemy. While he was away, they had come round the other way and burned his city, Ziklag, with fire. And it was a dreadful situation, a real catastrophe. And David's men were so upset because their wives and children had been taken away by the enemy. Of course, David was upset as well. But when he found that the men were so upset, they were all against him, and they thought he was to blame, then they got together in a huddle and decided to stone David to death. Now, of course, David got to know about this, and he was very much perplexed. But it only proves the point that no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself either. And here is David, what he is doing, affecting so many other lives. And they'd lost their loved ones and the children had gone as well. Now carry that text with you into this new year. No man lives to himself. We shall affect others. People with whom we work will be affected by our attitude to problems in our lives or in our business. The children at home are going to be affected by our attitude to circumstances as they arise. They know, they understand, and however we react, then they're going to be affected by this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Bring him into it. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth and the problems of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Well, now verse 6. David was greatly distressed. He brought this evil upon himself for his faithlessness. The people spoke of stoning him because they'd lost their loved ones too. But we read at the end of verse 6, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, my name's David, and this is my text. I think it's a wonderful thing that we can, in our big problems, go to the Lord and encourage ourselves in him. Remind ourselves that he is ours, our Savior. And if God be for us, then who can be against us. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You see, at first, chapter 27, his faith failed. I guarantee your faith fails sometimes. And it may fail again in this new year. But God is always there. He is on the throne. He will remember his own. And David went to God. David got his heart right with God. And then God came into the picture. And it all ended beautifully with glorious victory. So it is that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go after the enemy?" And the Lord said, "Go." Now, he didn't decide to do this himself now. He'd learned his lesson. And he was permitted by God to go after the enemy, because a great warrior was David. No man, in his sincerity, will ever fail to find encouragement in his God. In your big problems this year, if you go and get away on your own into the presence of the Lord, place everything before God, that terrible letter you've just received, lay it on the bed before the Lord, pray over it, bring God into the scene, and you'll find encouragement, I promise you. And in verse 8, no man will fail to know God's will if he is willing to do it. He said, "Lord, I don't want my way now," says David. "I want your way. Tell me what to do and I'll do it." And God told him very clearly and plainly to pursue the enemy. And he would, without fail, recover all that the enemy had taken away. It may be during this year the enemy, and we're always being tested by our arch enemy, Satan, will take something away from us that we've enjoyed for years. I hope he doesn't take away from you, through prevailing circumstances, the fellowship of God's people. You need that this year. May you find a way of victory over Satan who would keep you away. It may be some secret sin in the heart. Now God will bring to you again the blessings you've lost, joy in your soul, peace in your heart, and that sort of thing, if you seek to do his will and show him that you are willing to do what he says. And no man will fail to know God's will if he is willing to do it. The Lord Jesus said, if you are willing to do his will, you shall know what it is. You shall know the doctrine in relation to the will of God, that is, in the context. So the first essential to know the will of God is to show that you are willing to do it. God wouldn't be so foolish as to tell you what his will for you is when he knows all along that you're not going to do it if he reveals it. But if you surrender first of all to his will, say, "Lord, whatever it is, I'll do it if you show me plainly. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go if you tell me very clearly," and then the Lord will certainly reveal his will to you. He that willeth to do his will shall know. My daughter Anita, who was here in the congregation many years ago, whenever she comes to our house, she gets on the piano and plays my favorite hymn. Or when I go up to their place in Glasgow, she gets on the piano and plays me my favorite hymn. about the sweet will of God. At last, my stubborn heart has yielded. I will be thine, yea, thine alone. And it's all about accepting the divine will for my life. Now, God has a marvelous plan for your life. I don't know what you're doing today. Maybe your life is a bit rubbishy, nothing very special. No, it needn't last like that. God has a marvelous plan for your life. He can do wonders in you and then through you. But first of all, there must be absolute surrender of your will to His will, and then He will make it plain to you what He has for you to do. Then you'll say, here am I, send me. And He'll send you. And you'll be blessed, and you'll be made a blessing. And then in verse 12, no man will fail, whatever his condition, to receive grace on coming to Christ. Now, when they were chasing the enemy who had burned the city of Ziklag with fire, they came across this man in the field, very, very sick indeed. He was an Egyptian. He was working for an Amalekite. He was working for the wrong people, really. The captain of the band he was with was an Amalekite, and they speak to us of the flesh, and some of us perhaps are inclined to just work for ourselves and get all that we can for ourselves, whereas the mind of Christ is to work for others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the previous verse says that we ought to do His will and seek the blessing of others rather than our own. The actual words are these: look not every man on his own interests, but every man also on the interests of others. That is the mind of Christ. It was for the sake of others, for you and for me, that He left the glory, and that He went to the cross, and that He stayed on the cross when they told Him to come down and they would believe Him. And it's for your sake and mine that He rose again from the tomb to be today our ever-living, loving Saviour. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. And David is a picture of the Lord Jesus in that. This man was the enemy, and he fell sick. They left him there in the desert sand to die. He was working for the wrong boss, of course. And then David's men came upon him and brought him to David. And that's what we have to do as children of God and servants of the Lord Jesus. Bring these who are needy to Him. When I was 16 or 17, I was preaching on the text, and they brought him to Jesus. And I hadn't a clue what I said, and it didn't last more than about 6 minutes, and then my notes blew through the window of this small gospel hall, and the sermon soon lasted. They brought him to Jesus. But that's what we are here for, to bring men and women and boys and girls to the Lord Jesus. Now, this man was very, very needy. They did the right thing. They brought him to David. And David was very kind to him. Very kind indeed. Gave him bread. Now, the Lord Jesus, when we are brought to Him, He gives us bread, but He gives us the bread of life, and we live forever. We are restored and made well immediately when we come to Christ, because we taste of Him, and He is the living bread sent down from heaven. And you remember Joseph provided bread for the people in their time of need. And when they came to Joseph in the land of Egypt and confessed that they had nothing, then he gave them bread. As we come to the Savior and confess that we have nothing of ourselves to save ourselves from perishing, he will give us himself, the bread of life sent down from heaven. I'm not talking about the communion service now, the breaking of bread. I'm talking about Jesus personally on the throne. He gives us himself by his Spirit to indwell our hearts when we come to him. And he proves to be to us the bread of life, and we live. I am come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. And it is eternal life that we find in him as well. And he did eat. They gave him water. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Behold, I freely give the living water." 31, "Stoop down and drink and live." I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. Just like this poor Egyptian was beginning to live in David, and in David's company, and in David's band. So his Spirit came going. They gave him a cake of figs and a cluster of raisins. Sounds lovely to me. And he soon revived because he came to the right person. They brought him to David. So the principle is, no matter, no man will fail, whatever his state or condition, to receive grace on coming to Christ. James says, in him, now James says, he giveth more grace. The grace is there in Christ for us to have and enjoy, to make us better, to make us more spiritual, to make us stronger Christians. The grace is there. Well, that's what James says. He giveth more grace. But John, by the same Spirit, says, in him is grace upon grace. Grace succeeding grace. Always more grace for any extra need. In other words, he is enough for us for this present year that has already started. But the Apostle Paul, by the same Spirit, says, those who receive this grace in its abundance, as well as receiving Christ's righteousness so that they might be saved, those who receive abundance of grace shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. The blessing is always in Christ. In him is grace abounding. In him is the fullness of blessing. And there is enough grace for you and me for the whole of this year and for every situation. Grace is flowing like a river. Millions there have been supplied. Till it flows as fresh as ever from the Saviour's wounded side. None need perish. All may live, for Christ has died. Now this poor Egyptian was beginning to live. He was poor no longer because they brought him to David. He was revived and blessed in so many ways. And no man will fail to receive the grace, that is, love in action to the undeserving, the grace that the Lord Jesus gives to those who come to him, like David gave to this man. No man will fail, this is verse 18, to get complete victory over the enemy if he takes God at his word. This is verse 18. Complete victory. David recovered all that the enemy had taken away. Now God promised him that because He had really promised to do God's will and to seek his face in the future. And God said, well, if you'll promise me that, I will promise you complete victory over your enemy. You go, pursue the troop, and you will without fail recover everything that the enemy has taken away. And so no man will fail to get complete victory over the enemy if he takes God at his word. Now, I think to find out the word of God and the will of God for our lives, we must read the scriptures, and read the scriptures and meditate upon the scriptures every day, and try to find out what God is saying to us, what his promise is to us, because his promises never fail, and he brings victory to those who act upon his promises. And then no man, verse 18, David recovered all. No man will fail to get complete victory. And then verse 21 is the one I was looking for. David came to the 200 men that he left at the brook Besor, and he gave them some of the spoil. No man will lose his share of the spoil of his victory, even if he is not so robust as others. Now, these men had been going for days. They'd been chasing the enemy for so long. They were worn out. And maybe you would get worn out in such circumstances. I know I would. And some of his men who'd gone with him all the way, very robust soldiers, they didn't want to give any of the spoil, any of the goods they'd captured, to these men who'd stayed at the brook at Besor and had a drink or two of water from the brook. They didn't want them to get anything. But David said, no, that isn't the right spirit. Let us all share alike. It is God who has given us the victory, and we must share his blessings. Christians are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. But we must share them around. Be a blessing to others. Talk to others who are in need about the Lord. Read God's word to them and explain it to them, and be a blessing. No man will lose his share of the spoil of the victory, even if he is not so robust as others. You may not consider yourself to be a very strong Christian, but I know very well that this year God can use you mightily as you just talk as simply as you possibly can to those who are in need of him. And then verse 26, no man need remain in spiritual poverty, since the enemy has been routed and overcome. And those who come to Christ find that in Christ they are blessed with all spiritual blessings. And David got such a lot of spoil after giving quite a bit to these men who stayed drinking the water at the brook. They were so tired. After giving them a portion, giving his own soldiers a portion of the spoil, he got some newspaper or brown paper and string and tied up some bundles of goods that he got from the enemy, and put the name and address on and sent them by the mailman or postman around the realm. And they were kind of Christmas boxes, you know. And he wrote, either inside or on the outside, this: behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. And I don't think he had to put a stamp on. Stamps are very expensive in England these days. especially if you're sending a parcel through the post. But anyway, I think that's a beautiful text. Behold a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. Yours sincerely, David. Now, of course, the Lord has done great things for you, whereof you are glad, brought you into great blessing. We are not only to possess our possessions in Christ, but we are to share our blessings with others. Look not every man on his own interests, on his own spoil, but every man also on the interests of others. God wants us to be a blessing to others this year. When the founder of the Salvation Army was dying, his helpers wanted him to send a message to all the officers in the Salvation Army around the world from him, from his deathbed. So he decided to send them just one word, and the word was O-T-H-E-R-S. And some of us today were talking about Philippians 2 and how that the message there is, look upon the needs of others and not on your own in this new year, and be a blessing to others, just like the Lord Jesus, have the mind of Christ, who wasn't taken up with his own glory, but emptied himself of his reputation and came to earth to die for others. Just like the Apostle Paul in verse 17 of that chapter, he was poured out and had been for years for the sake and blessing of others. And he says, if I ever get out of this joint, this prison — they would say joint in England — if I ever get out of this prison, then I want to be poured out again to serve the Lord for you and with you. Then, of course, Epaphroditus, who brought the blessing, who brought the gift, the monetary gift, to Paul in prison at Rome, he was almost killed on the way to Rome. In any case, he was taken very ill, had an awful job to get to Rome, and Paul said to the elders in Rome, you ought to honour people like Epaphroditus, and he almost lost his life for the sake of others. And of course, God expects us to have the mind of Christ and to think of others in their great need. So the enemy has been routed. Christ is victorious. We're not on the winning side. We're on the side that has already won. The victory is complete. One of these days, the victory will be revealed and Christ will appear and manifest his glory and power. And we shall share that if we are believers in him. So I hope tonight that you will receive not what David is sending you from his victory, but what Christ is bringing to you because of his victory on the cross. Victory in your own life, forgiveness of sin, joy in Christ, life abundant. I hope you will possess your possessions, that you will take the salvation Christ is offering with both hands and say, thank you very much, Lord Jesus. For me, Lord Jesus, thou hast died, and I have died in thee. And possess your possessions. Undo the string. Take the brown paper away and enjoy the blessing that Christ has for you tonight. May God bless you and help you to understand that this new year can be a wonderful time for you as you repent of your sin, turn to Christ, remember his victory on the cross, thank God it was for you, enter in by faith and possess all your possessions, a full salvation in him. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word tonight. This incident about David and his failure and then his victory and then his sharing and caring for others. We thank thee for the grace that he was showing at this time, and it all reminds us of the Lord Jesus, who never failed and yet showed wonderful grace to us who are in need. Thank thee for his victory on the cross, and we thank thee that he is the bread of life sent down from heaven, and he will meet our every need. We rejoice in our Saviour. We worship thee for him. We pray for grace to trust him today and every day this new year for his name's sake. Amen. Now we'll sing a verse or two of a closing hymn. Two verses of 293. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus.